This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah, yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
If you've been needing some advice, even if it's not all that nice, there's a show you've gotta listen to. Listen to why nerdy Jews who are almost 40 say what they'd do if they were you. Seize the cheese so you can sing along to every reference I can fit into the song. Pick an app so you can enjoy Rose McIver's voice. Jake and Amir, baby Jake and Amir, are finally here to assist. They'll put you on blast for the things that you ask, and probably call you a bitch. So if you have problems that you're dying to solve, and if you need help from a Jew, send it all here to Jake and Amir. The podcast is If I Were You.
Wow.
Okay.
That.
Okay.
I have no notes. Simply put, that's a final. On vinyl.
That was solid. I loved it.
Jeremiah wrote that.
Jeremiah, thank you.
He wants us to know that he doesn't sing or make music.
Really?
Yeah. That's okay. A fucking eye-opener. Wow. You hear that and you think, who's the pro behind it? It's not Jeremiah.
So what does Jeremiah
do? So he took the instrumental cover of a manga song, which he says is pronounced manga, not manga, you dumbass, is what he says. And he sang over it. But the instrumental is not mine, only the terrible vocals are, says Jeremiah.
So why did he do this?
He did it to be a part of the show. He did it so that we would talk about it.
And we are.
And it worked. And I have nothing but respect for him. He says the song is called Hikaru Nara from the anime Your Lie in April.
And is Jeremiah going on tour with this anytime soon?
It doesn't say going on tour, but I doubt it because he's not a singer and he only did one song.
Right. Yeah. I just feel like this could really go viral.
Right. Like, what would the tour be, I guess? I guess he could do other anime instrumental cover vocal over
for other podcasts.
Yeah, for other podcasts.
He could do a Pod Save America one.
Yeah.
Or a This American Life one.
Yeah, he could do that one. Or he can do like a maybe a High and Mighty one for Gabrus, and we'll send it off to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I'd really like him to do it for Ira Glass is all, but yeah.
He won't. I don't think he's going to be doing it for Ira Glass.
Well, you never know.
Do you think you have a better voice than this guy?
Yes.
But you had to think about it.
Yeah, but I have a little more experience with singing and songwriting. I was a singer-songwriter in high school and college.
Songwriter?
Yeah, I wrote some songs.
You wrote songs?
Oh, yeah, I wrote songs.
I'd like to read one if you still have them on a desktop computer somewhere.
I might have. I think I've got like a video of me and Eddie Gaga performing one.
Certainly you remember the chorus or the title to some of these songs.
Oh, I do, and I will not share it here.
I'd love to hear one title.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you a title.
Do you know the entire song?
If I sat down, I mean, I still know how to play the song on the guitar, and I wrote the lyrics.
It's just so I know. How many songs did you write?
It's probably like depending on like when you really start, like if you were starting as early as like my freshman year punk band,
yeah,
going all the way up to the acoustic songs I would write when I was like a freshman, sophomore in college.
Oh, wow. So like when I met you almost, you were writing songs,
acoustic songs. I moved to New York, I didn't write songs anymore. That was when I was in New Haven going to school at Southern, writing songs. But like,
well, why would you write songs?
To get girls to like me.
You'd write the songs and play them for girls? Or you'd record them and show them to girls?
I would write songs, and then Eddie would sing them, and then we would perform them for people like at parties.
Interesting. So live shows.
I never sang because I wasn't good enough at singing.
And you never recorded it?
We recorded some songs, but I don't know where they are now.
All right,
there was recording.
What's your favorite song that you wrote? This is interesting because I had no idea you wrote any songs. I'm discovering something new about you.
The one that like my core friend group back home like still sings.
Oh, really?
Pretty Please.
Pretty Please?
Pretty Please.
And what is it about? What are you asking? What are you begging for?
It was about...
Pretty Please is a good name for a pop song.
Yeah.
So far I have no comments about the title. I think it's perfect.
You like the title?
Yeah.
Pretty Please was about when I was going away to college and leaving my girlfriend who was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm. And then what would you be asking her, Pretty Please?
It was like, Pretty Please, can we stay together? Can I stay here and be with you?
Got it.
I'm so embarrassed. So the interview ends now.
Well, I want to know just the chorus.
The podcast ends with me singing a cappella Pretty Please with all of my fucking heart.
What is the chorus?
I can't tell. I don't want to just like tell you the words.
Isn't that better than singing the song?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely better than singing it. But like, I just think if you like,
give me a line. Lyrics,
Pretty Please is the first, or is one of the lines of the chorus,
but it's not a full line. Pretty Please, can I stay with you tonight? Pretty Please, can I see you again soon?
Pretty Please, I don't want to leave. I'm happy here. Why can't you see?
You loser. I can't believe you fucking said that out loud.
Delete this from the podcast.
Oh my God.
Delete it.
Of course, nobody's still listening.
So many unsubscribes.
Pretty Please. And your friends know about this song.
They know all the lyrics.
Who can I ask to sing the song for
Eddie
me?
Eddie Gaga. Who came up with the melody?
Yeah.
You could ask Christine, Jamie, Lynn,
they all
Steve.
Know.
You know Steve.
Yeah, they all
actually
know
Jeff and Dave know the song.
Really?
Yeah.
So we can have maybe Dave or Jeff sing it and send it in.
For sure.
Yeah. Would that embarrass you or less embarrassing?
All of this embarrasses me for sure.
Which is hard because you have a Dungeons and Dragons podcast and this is like what really gets you.
It's definitely. Yeah. But, yeah, no, that's all. This whole thing embarrasses the shit out of me.
Anyway, this is not a Jake's History podcast.
Though it should be.
This is
every episode we regale you guys with
one.
I wish I still had the lyrics
story
to all of these songs. They're so fucking emo.
You don't have them somewhere?
In
your brain is the most of them?
Yeah, in the brain I have a lot of them. But it'd be really fun to just like have one of my old notebooks that had all the lyrics.
Yeah.
They're so sad. So sad.
Were you just in a sad place?
I mean, I was just in a desperate place. Just like had like some hopeless crushes on, I mean, multiple people. Like, I wasn't too picky about who I had a crush on. I had like five crushes, and each one of them broke my heart in half, like just because they didn't like me.
Or like didn't even think about it. It's not like they didn't like you. It's just like, oh yeah, Jake. And you're like,
yeah, like, this oh, is Jake's unrequited my friend, love. And I have another boyfriend. And I'm like, oh, but I'm in love with you. And then also I'm in love with Danielle. I'm in love with Claire too. And I'm in love with them.
And then when you were like 19 and 20, who was the GOAT? Who were you trying to emulate? Who was like, this is the class A standard. I have to be like this person.
This is the 19 and 20, Dave Matthews probably.
He's saying what you were like, wish I could sing.
Wish, yeah. Wish I could sing. Wish I could write.
Yeah.
Like that. I wish I could play like Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
That was like, yeah, that was what I was going for.
Yeah, because you didn't have a good voice and you weren't that good at guitar. Right. And then your songs were also not good.
No, that's not true. My songs were dope. My voice was awesome. And my guitar playing was insane.
Was also good.
It was sort of like a blend of Blink-182 and Dave Matthews. That's what I was like trying to do.
Got it. Pop.
Acoustic pop punk.
Pop folk.
Oh, yeah,
sorts.
Pop folk. That's what it was.
That's cool. Like Jason Mraz.
Yeah, but like a little less poppy than that. A little more like Dashboard Confessional-y.
That's cool. Did you ever have a fedora?
No. No, I didn't.
That's awesome, man.
Thanks, dude.
This is If I Were You Show, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
I wanted to do this episode because you're getting LASIK eye surgery today.
Yes.
I said we should record half the episode before you get LASIK.
And then the second half when I'm blind.
That's right. Second half tomorrow after your LASIK.
Mm-hmm.
So right now is just the buildup. You're getting LASIK in 3 hours.
What time is it?
It's a little afternoon on Monday.
Yeah, 3 hours.
Monday, May 21st right now. We'll release this on Monday, May 28th. You're getting LASIK in 3 hours.
I'm scared as fuck.
Has it hit you yet?
Yeah, it has.
Was it nervous when you did it? Or you're like, oh, this is in the future. I'm not that scared.
I went in because I was curious. And then I learned the price, learned the recovery time, became a little less scared, but then still didn't schedule it.
Yeah.
And then it was a few months. And then like my eyesight just got so bad that I wasn't wearing the glasses. And then we have our trips coming up.
That's
and
right.
I was like,
I don't want to have to deal with glasses.
Yeah. I'd like to be able to see stuff when I go to Iceland.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to, so I was like, I'm going to fucking do it. I called hoping they weren't going to have any appointments. Because I was like, the only day I can do is Monday the 21st. And they're like, okay, we have the morning or the afternoon. All right.
When would you like us to slice your eyes open with lasers?
Of course.
The burning is what you smell the most when we burn your cornea.
So now part of me is like, wow, tomorrow I'll be able to see better.
Yeah.
And then the other part of me is like, what the hell is this going to be?
Like, did you purposely not do research because you don't want to know?
I feel like I asked a ton of questions when I was there, and I don't remember any of the answers, but I know that like they all satisfied me, and I was like, okay, this is like
that's fine,
a good, reputable, safe place. This is like the number one LASIK place in Los Angeles.
That's good.
I mean, according to Yelp.
The big exciting one is that you're not asleep for it. You're awake while they slice and dice and surgically repair your eyes.
Yeah, they do that like
Clockwork Orange style
thing to your eyes.
Eyes open. You're awake.
Lying on a table.
And they burn your cornea. The cornea is the little lens on your eye. They burn it open, flap it up, mm-hmm. and then they laser the back of it.
They give you like a Valium or a Xanax or something that just like makes you chill out.
So yeah, it's not even anesthesia. No, I assume they like put drops.
Yeah, I think they numb your eyes.
They numb your eyes and you're on a Valium, so you're just chill. And you're like, holy shit.
I'm so nervous talking about this right now. Like my stomach is literally in knots and my balls have like... gone into my stomach.
Is anybody going to be there with you?
Jill is picking me up afterwards.
All right, but during it, it's not.
Just
I wonder if I can be in the room, like making videos with you.
Do you want to call? You want to call and ask?
That would be like fun content, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If we like did videos while it's happening, and I was like asking you questions,
that'd be cool. We can ask.
Or they'd be like, absolutely not. He has to be like motionless. He can't be smiling and talking.
Right. If you make him laugh when the laser's in there.
Holy shit. All right, so we'll try to answer some questions now when your vision isn't perfect, and then tomorrow we can ask you how the surgery went.
Cool. All the questions are about, can you read this?
Yeah.
Can you see this?
I'm holding up a letter. Can you read what it is? Here's one from... a lady. We'll call her LASIK.
Nice.
Thanks. I met a guy recently on Tinder, and things have been going really well, like way too well. We were talking one night that I'm a demisexual, which means I'm not sexually attracted to anyone unless I'm emotionally invested in the person. And because of that, I'm still a virgin. And he was surprisingly okay with it. Now we're like a couple weeks into it, and I'm finding myself really into him, and I'm ready to take it to the next level. But he hasn't done anything in fear of taking things too far with me. So what should I do? I think he thinks I'm a prude because I'm demi, and I don't want to sabotage our relationship by making it uncomfortable. But, like, I'm trying to fuck. So should I just say I'm down? Am I being selfish because maybe he's not ready? I could really use your help. Thanks, guys. Love, LASIK.
LASIK.
Have you ever heard of this thing?
Demisexual?
I'm a demisexual?
I feel like it just, it almost just sounds like the standard.
Yeah. I have this weird condition in which I can't have sex with someone unless I've known them for a few weeks. But now I'm down to fuck them.
It's, yeah, it seems like what I have should be the condition.
Yeah, what is
horny sexual?
What is it called when you're just overtly sexual, regardless of whether you know the person?
What is
or
it
not?
When you'll fuck anybody?
That's
the condition.
That should be demisexual.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and then like 98% of people are what, demisexual?
I'm down to fuck, but I have to know and like the person.
And she, yeah. Right. No, that's how it works.
I get that.
And now that she's been with him for a couple weeks, she's ready to take it to the next level, but she's worried. Like, did she even, like, why even preface this relationship with, by the way, just so you know, I have this thing called being a demisexual, where we might not sleep together for 14 days.
Well, I think we're also calling it a condition. Like, I have this thing.
Yeah.
No, that's what her sexuality is, demisexual.
Of course.
Which seems like the most standard one. I don't know. But fuck it. Yeah. If you've already like told him this and he's being ultra respectful, that is cool. That is hot. But I do think if you tell him you're down to fuck, then that breaks the spell and you guys will have sex.
Yeah. And he'll be like, this is great. I'm glad I waited the few weeks.
It won't bother him. It won't be weird. Or it'll be weird for a second, then you'll have sex, and then it won't be weird anymore.
Have you ever had to wait?
Yeah. Yes.
People have been like, I'm not comfortable yet.
Yeah.
And you'll wait.
Sure.
What's the longest you've waited?
In my, like, adult life? When you're, like, when I was younger, like, in high school and college, it was pretty standard to wait, like, weeks or months.
Right. Yeah. Could you believe you were hooking up with all these demis and you didn't even know about it?
Well, I guess that's different when you're like, when you haven't slept with a lot of people, or sometimes you even haven't even slept with anybody, that it's like you want to be a little more like picky. But then at a certain point for me, the floodgates were open and it was just like, nothing matters anymore.
So the question is, should I just say I'm down? I guess yes. Am I being selfish? No. And what should I do? You already said. Say that you're down. You're available now if he's interested. I'll bet you that he's excited about that information.
Same.
He's into that news.
He will like it.
All right, another female question.
Ooh.
What's another type of eye surgery? Oh, what about cornea? That's a cool name for a lady.
Yeah.
Cornea writes, I'm starting college in the fall in England, and I've never had a boyfriend or done anything more than a peck on the cheek.
Ooh.
But here's the issue. Before I go off to school, I'm getting a breast reduction, going from a 32F to a 32C, and I'm going to have major scars on my boobs for around a year. Do you think I should let prospective guys know about my Frankenstein chest before we get busy? Do you think boys will really care? Do you think UK dating protocol is different? Also, any sex/makeout tips you wish you would have known when you were a freshman in college would be very much appreciated.
Ooh.
Huge fan for a long time. Sincerely, Cornea.
All right, Cornea.
Do you have to warn someone?
No. I mean, as long as you're healed and you don't have to warn them to, like, hey, be gentle with my breasts because they're sore or because they're like stitches there.
That's right.
No, I don't think you have to warn anybody. Also, I think most of the time when you're hooking up in college, it's going to be dark. They won't really know. I think like you can have a conversation at some point to clarify what stuff is, but you don't have to say like heads up.
Yeah. Just so you know, I used to have bigger boobs. What if you start dating somebody and then you're like, by the way, I'm getting smaller boobs in 2 weeks? Should you let them know?
Like, I guess.
Heads up, what you see isn't what you're going to get.
I
Just so you know, I'll have different boobs soon.
You're a boob guy, so I think that matters more to you.
Oh, so if she was like, just so you know, I'm getting a butt reduction, you'd want to know.
I would.
Yeah. I demand to know.
I would throw myself in front of the car on the way to the hospital.
You actually makes people fill out a questionnaire if they're planning on changing their butt before dating you.
As long as, well, if it gets bigger, that's cool.
Oh, okay, so yeah. Only in one direction is it fine for you.
That's a Drake line. I'll pay to make it bigger. I don't pay for no reduction.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not very woke.
Well, Drake actually has a pretty fraught writing relationship with women.
He's
really romantic, but then he's a little condescending and misogynistic, to like, be sure.
He'll be like, you have to pick up when I call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly correct.
Like, you better not be at a place where you can't pick up when I call.
Right.
Don't send me to voicemail or text me and say I'm busy right now.
And like to Drake saying like, you're a good girl and you know it.
Yeah.
Like that's a good girl to Drake is somebody who doesn't party.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What is it? Like stay at home.
You yeah. Used
to, what it, that line's about stay at home.
I don't remember it now.
used to
I think it's pretty please.
hold on a second. There is a hotline bling line about stay at home.
Oh yeah, stay at home now going out more.
Right, yeah. You used to not go out as much. You used to always stay at home, be a good girl. You was in the zone. You should just be yourself. Right now, you're someone else.
Yeah. So he doesn't like when other people are partying and hooking up with other people because that's what Drake does.
That's right.
But you should stay at home and be a good girl waiting for Drake to be done partying.
And I hope the fucking God it calls you. Do you think UK dating protocol is different? I don't know.
They're very polite there, so they probably wouldn't say anything about your scars if they noticed.
Do you think boys will really care? I don't.
Same.
Yeah. From 32F to a 32C, it'll be exciting either way for them, I bet.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just going to be able to walk around easier. That's going to be great for you.
Sex/makeout tips. You wish you had known. A makeout tip or a sex tip.
I guess
I'm going to urge this lady to be a demisexual.
Really?
Yeah. You don't want to lose your virginity without being emotionally attached.
Yeah. I don't know. That's nice. That's smart.
But
is there any, I don't know. Is there any like sex tips that you wish you knew when you were younger? I don't think that like, it's like a tip thing. It's more of like a practice thing.
Yeah. You have to gain experience.
Yeah.
Sex is interesting because no one really teaches you how to be good at it. You just sort of do it, and right. Then like you'll gradually get better or stay the same as you go
learn
on.
What it is. So I guess like just do that. Learn what makes you feel good because that's like what's more important later on too.
Yeah, most of our tips are for guys. Yeah, so it's hard to give a sex tip to a lady.
Right. Let's just give guys sex tip.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So get your cock nice and hard before you put that condom on.
Very good. That's really good. Practice safe sex. That's a tip that you wish you'd known.
Yep.
Remember when you got all those girls pregnant with your songs?
Oh, that's true.
All right, let's take a break. It'll just last an ad for you guys listening, but it'll mean a world of difference for Jake, who may or may not be blind on the other side of this commercial.
It'll be a day. And it'll be a lifetime.
Either that or you'll have laser vision. You said you're a little afraid of having too clear vision, right?
I think that what I don't like is when I wear my glasses and I have really clear vision and like people look at me and they see that I'm wearing glasses and they know that, well, this obviously I'm insane.
Yeah.
But I like can see too clearly and then like people look at me and like the glasses are this thing like this device that I'm using to cheat to see them clearer than I should.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like what I'm doing is invasive. It makes me feel like I'm wearing x-ray goggles and then people can see that I'm wearing the x-ray goggles.
Got it.
But I don't have any problem with how clearly I see. I would rather have that and just no glasses.
Of course.
Of course.
All right. If it goes well for you, we'll find out soon. And then who knows? Maybe I'm next.
Whoa. Yeah, right.
No, never probably. All right. Back soon.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapist at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back.
I'm blind.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
A day has elapsed.
Mm-hmm. It's been basically almost 24 hours.
Yeah. The first part was on a Monday. You got your LASIK surgery. You're back on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
How'd it go?
It went well.
Okay.
I'll say one thing. It is a little more invasive than they let on.
Yeah.
Just right off the bat. Like when people are like, LASIK, it's no big deal. You're in, you're out, it's fine. It's a little bit of a big deal.
Well, let's slow a little bit. So you take an Uber there because you can't drive after.
Correct.
You arrive, you check in. It's like an audition or a doctor's or like, what's it like? Like a haircut place?
Yeah. It's like a mix of all of those things.
Yeah.
You sign in.
Yeah.
They send you to a room. You have like a big packet of stuff that's like, here's everything that you need to know. Like you might experience discomfort, some people.
A waiver, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
If they blind you, it's not their fault.
You know what else was fucked up? Like as I was walking in, there were two different phone calls of people complaining. And she's like, yeah, no, you shouldn't be still like, have your vision shouldn't be like hazy like that. Like you can come back in. And then like, as I was sitting down, she's like, yes, no, it concerns me a lot that it's been 5 days and you're feeling discomfort still. That like, I have to be straight up with you. That shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Happening. I mean, you're my patient, so I'm concerned.
If you do 10 of those a day, you're going to be fielding one or two of those types of calls every hour.
So I was pretty nervous at that point.
Yeah. And then she's like, don't worry. That's a rare condition.
Well, they weren't even talking to me. They like just sat me down. I initialed all the lines that were like, you might be uncomfortable, it might not work, all that, like the waiver shit. Then you watch a 7-minute video that tells you like how to care for your eyes afterward.
It's called "This Might Be the Last Video You'll Ever See."
Yeah. So, and then I looked beforehand, I looked at, I was just like looking at Instagram stories. I'm like, this is the last time I'll ever, my, the last thing is like a meal that my friend from high school cooked that looks fine.
All right. Someone's on a boat tour of New York City.
Great.
Time to be blind forever.
Dave Rosenberg is live again. Glad I saw that.
For the last time. So then you finally, you watch the video and they take you to the room. And is it like a dentist chair?
Well, before that, they take me to not the laser room. They take me to another eye. Basically, I get a brand new eye exam, even though I've done it with them before.
Oh, I see.
And that's where the doctor comes in, who is like a fucking celebrity to me at this point, because you've seen him in the video.
Yeah, holy shit.
You see him on the poster.
It's
you
the guy.
Never see him, but there he is. He gives me the eye exam. It's like better or worse, one or two.
They get your prescription, basically.
Get my prescription, but like really nail it. Like,
it wasn't
like LensCrafters. It was like,
Is there a lot of pressure? You're like, I don't know. They both look the same. Yeah. Please,
like, that one's marginally better. Don't cut my eye out, dude.
For it? Because it might not actually be. I can't tell.
But then they take like 3D scans of your eyes after that.
To verify the prescription.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your prescription? Do you remember?
I think it was negative... It had to change. It was like negative 1.25
in
the right eye with like a 25% stigmatism or something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then in the left eye, it was like negative 1 with the 50% stigmatism.
Got it. I recently found out what those numbers are. Like 20/20 vision is perfect. What you can see from 20 feet, a person with perfect vision can also see from 20 feet. And then when you say you're minus 1.25... That means like what you see from 20 feet, a guy with perfect vision can see from 125 feet.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I minus 300. So a guy with perfect vision would have to be 300 feet away for something for it to be as clear as I see it from 20 feet.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then like it goes worse and worse and worse from there.
Damn.
So you have minus one and one, minus 1.25, which is like kind of blurry, but like not, I can't survive blurry.
Right, exactly. And that was sort of like what it was. Like I would walk into the gym or a bar where I was like going to meet somebody and I like wouldn't be able to know if they were there or not.
Like, even like, while I was eating dinner with them.
That's like the shape of somebody I know, I
right,
think.
But no details in the face.
No details in the face. And then this morning I was like walking to work and I saw a guy on a Segway. I was like, I can see your dumb face, you little Segway loser.
Well, no spoilers yet.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You get to the, you meet the doctor.
Meet the doctor, gives me
the
exam. Scan. I get like the eye scan.
Yeah.
Then I go into another waiting room that's a little more private,
yeah,
dimly lit.
Oh.
They come and they give me a Valium.
Whoa.
To calm my nerves.
Wow. Did you feel that Valium?
I felt it on the ride home because as soon as I took the Valium, they're like, all right, get in the chair. Like, well, what do we hide the drugs?
Now,
what about
when you're in the dim room? Is it like the anxiety of like you're about to go on a roller coaster? Is it the anxiety of like I'm just going to take off on a plane? Are you feeling it at all? Are you feeling nothing?
It's definitely more than that. It's the anxiety of like, oh, it's similar to the anxiety I felt when we went on the swing in New Zealand.
That bad?
You know, not like
dangling above a gorge anxiety level.
In between that and like when we are about to go on stage and perform or something.
Got it. So in between like a 2 and an 8.
Yeah.
You're
so
just
I guess
like,
a 5.
Wow, this is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But not like, oh, shit.
Right. Not like I need to run away and not do this.
Yeah.
Which I guess is like sort of how I felt on the swing.
Yeah.
It was like the kind of, maybe a little more extreme than the dentist.
Yeah.
Getting a
cap. Or like above like a shot.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So a shot, like, you're like, I know it's going to hurt, but it'll be fine.
Yeah. It's like, I know this is going to be uncomfortable and I'm scared and it could have like really bad consequences, but I'm also not going to run away. I'm not going to leave. This is happening.
Yeah. Because people have done this before and they've been fine.
Mm-hmm. It's happening. Yeah.
So they're like, all right, take you to the room. This is the room where it's happening.
Yeah. And there are two, it looks sort of, you've seen like an MRI machine or something.
Yeah.
It's like a full on, you lie flat on your back. There's like a huge
plastic tube.
Not like a full on tube, but like almost like a half circle thing,
like a tunnel of sorts.
Yeah, you don't go fully into a tunnel though. It's like a big helmet that they like can swing over you.
Okay.
That's kind of what it is. It doesn't cover your whole body, just your face.
Got it.
So you lie back, your head goes like into this like sunken like indent there.
I wonder how many people at this point are just like, I don't want to do this, never mind.
I thought about it a little bit. Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. My eyes aren't that bad.
Never mind. I'll wear glasses. That's also fine.
But it was also more like less the laser and more like the recovery time. Because every time I've gone in, they're like, oh yeah, next day you're good. You go to work. Yeah. And this time I went in, they're like, all right, next day you can go to work and 2 weeks of these drops and these drops and sleep with these goggles for 10 days. And I was like, you guys said this was casual.
This was a bait and switch.
I have to go to Iceland in a week.
And I can't just go without my eyes land.
Yeah, now I have to bring two, I have to get droppers and fucking goggles.
Okay, so you're in the fucking holster. They're about to like, it seems like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, and I'm in the holster. They tape my right eye shut.
Tape it shut?
Yeah, and then they put like numbing drops on my left eye.
Okay.
Once those are in there, the doctor sort of like, holds open my eye, uh-huh, and he slides the plastic. It's not like a crazy clamp,
yeah,
but you can tell that it's like
it's keeping
it goes under your eyelid.
And oh, under your eyelid?
Yeah.
Wow. So it's keeping your eyelid open.
Yeah.
And how does it not dry out? Because I need to blink every like 10 to 30 seconds.
Well, they're covering your eye. They have like lots of different drops. I don't know how many different drops I got in there, but like
blink replacement, basically.
Yeah. They wash it out with water. They like put a bunch of like numbing cream in there. And then like the doctor straight up like takes what seems like a brush and just like brushes your eye.
Uh-huh.
Cause like all you see is like kind of blurry lights. And
yeah,
then there's just like a windshield wiper type thing that goes across your eye.
And that's a brush or was that the laser?
That's the brush.
Okay,
that's him like getting my eye ready.
And are you asking him questions? Or is he telling you what's going on?
He's like, you're doing great. And I have like jokes in my head a little bit. Like I wanted to say, you're doing great. But like, everything that was, I didn't even have a response because it was like I was so scared that everything was, I got a 5 second delay.
So you opted
also,
not to have the.
They like asked me if I wanted a blanket. So I'm like lying there with a blanket, petrified.
I should have gone. All right. So you opt for not the Zacto knife blade,
right,
slicing
not blade,
your cornea.
I went bladeless. I went laser.
So you have a thin layer on your eyeball called your cornea. They have to slice that and flap it up.
Yeah,
kind of so like first, little sunglasses.
Yeah, the clip-ons. First laser is what creates the flap.
Yeah.
So
that's what he says. He's like, "All right, I'm going to laser your eyes open."
He didn't say exactly that, but I did know, like from watching the video, that that's what was about to happen. He was like, "Are you ready?"
<There's> How like, many people say no to that? I bet.
Yeah. Like, I guess, yep.
Actually, I'll wear contacts.
I think it's just like this weird, like friendly thing. Like I was so nervous. I didn't want to do it. He's like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, good. Thank you. I kept on saying, thank you.
They're I'm
like,
excited right, to like, see here. Thank
like,
you.
All right, thank you. Okay, thanks. And like, there's just these sort of like blurry red lights and then like one green light. He's like, look at the green light. Look at the green. And he's like, you ready? Here we go. And then it was just like a sound. And the green light went from being sort of like a blurry, like stoplight green,
yeah,
to like the point of a pen.
That just sharp.
Like, super sharp green.
Laser.
Mm-hmm. And it starts like moving around. And he's like, don't follow it. Don't follow it. Just relax your eye.
I might fall in it by accident.
Like, what do I do? Okay. And then it lasted like truly maybe like 5 to 10 seconds.
But that's just the flap part.
That was just the flap part. Then they taped that eye shut.
And oh, they flap and then they don't do the LASIK part yet.
Not yet. So they taped that eye shut.
Oh my God. Can you imagine seeing a video of that?
I would hate it.
Your fucking eyeball being slit open.
I'd so hate it. And then they did it to my right eye. Exact same thing.
Are you nervous at this point or are you like, okay, now we're in it to win?
No, as that was ending, he's like, all right, we're almost done. And like then I started like laughing because it was like so nothing. It
yeah,
didn't even, I felt like the tiniest bit of like pressure. You know, like when you, I guess like similar to going to a dentist when you have like Novocaine and like
yeah,
you feel that like just like a touch on your gum, but
like
it's probably like
stabbing.
Yeah, but it's nothing. It's like just like.
Just like somebody pressing on your eyelid a
right,
little bit.
Just a gentle
and they're
little
actually
touch,
lasering it open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they do that with that second laser.
Still green.
Create the flap.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
Go back.
And then they like sit me up and they helped me over to the next laser. And I'm like not opening my eyes. I'm just like, you can open your eyes. And like, and I did. And I was like, I'm not blind. Everything was like blurry and my eyes were like watering a lot. But I guess that's also like the numbing stuff.
So your flaps were open at this point.
I don't know, like, yeah, I think they had been created, but they hadn't been peeled back.
Got it. So slit there, but flap still down.
Yeah. So then I go back into the next machine and they do, I mean, the exact same thing. Tape one eye shut, hold the other eye open. And this,
it's not at the same machine.
It's a different machine, different laser. But this is when the doctor peels back the flap.
Oh.
And the second laser, exact same scenario. Look at the green. And now I'm a pro at this. I know exactly, like.
Yeah, it's the third time.
Look at the green, relax my eye. Blurry green turns into the sharp green point.
Yeah.
But this time you hear like sort of, this is like they're like melting away some of the cornea.
The actual, the front, not the back of your eyeball.
Right. Yeah. Like, because I think what it is sort of, it's like a windshield. It's like a, it's a, like a glass lens. But like, if I had like a lot of cornea buildup, so they like hollowed it out a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what it is, but they're like, they're creating a better lens.
Got it.
And it, that involves like just straight up burning some of it off. So you smell it. That's the fucking crazy part.
And this is the actual LASIK surgery that's happening. There's no third step.
Yes, there's no third step.
So they lift up the flap and then they start burning the cornea.
They burn it off and you like can feel, you can't like feel anything besides like the pressure, but you sort of just like know what's happening. So like
makes happening. A laser is burning your
eyeball? Yeah, that it's like they're taking away little pieces of your eye.
And how do they possibly know? It's like, all right, don't take too much because he's only a minus 1.25.
I think, I mean, that is all the lasers and the doctors. I don't know.
Like, there's, is he actually controlling the difference of the laser between a 1.25 and a 1?
That's a good question for him. I don't know.
We should have him on the show.
I'd love that. Okay. I would love to talk to Dr. Lee.
And what does your eyeball burning smell like?
It's hard to describe. I've never smelled anything like it.
Was it smell like meat? Did it smell like burning paper?
No, it smelled a little more, less like that, more like a science experiment kind of burning.
Got
like
it.
A sulfury meat.
And maybe. He's like, ignore the smell. That's just your eyeballs burning.
Or no, he didn't bring the smell. Yeah, I just sort of assumed that's what it was.
Got it. So they do it to one eye.
Then they do it to the other one.
And he's like, all right, all done.
And he's like, all right, yeah, you did great. And they were like, all right, go in here. They dilated my eyes so he can give me like a post-exam thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I just like sat it back in the waiting room, just like shutting my eyes.
Were you like, I hope when I open them, they're fine? Or they're like, it won't be fine for a little bit?
They didn't say anything about it. I was imagining that I would just be like, lights out, blind.
Black.
But like when I opened my eyes, I could see, you know, not good, but fine. I
like what, looked blurry.
I looked at my phone to see what time it was, and I couldn't see that.
Got it.
But like I could see, I was walking out of the room. I didn't need help. I could have like found the door, found the seat. Everything would have been fine.
Got it.
Like I could see everything, but just not like little specifics. And the weird thing is, like then I looked at my phone to see what the time, and I couldn't. So I like held it closer to my face, and I. Like, there was, I couldn't see it at
there
all.
There was no
just,
difference.
Like, total blur.
Like, light sensitivity blurness, or, like, just every
just, like, I wouldn't, couldn't find sharp, like, sharp, a sharp edge on anything.
You're wearing sunglasses that they give you.
At that point, I was not wearing the sunglasses yet. I wore those afterwards.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, I was wearing them. Yeah, I was walking around there wearing sunglasses.
And then how long are you waiting before he checks to see his work?
15 minutes while my eyes dilated, then I could see, like, my eyes, like, weren't that blurry anymore. Uh-huh. I could see pretty well. They put more of the numbing stuff in there.
Yeah.
And that, like, got them nice and wet. He came in. He looked at my eyes. He said that it went really well. He said, you did great. And I was like, thanks. And that time I finally said, you did great. And then that was it. And, like, they said I would... Then I had to wait 45 minutes for Jill to pick me up because I had told her to come at the wrong time.
Got it. So you waiting. You can't look at your phone or you can sort of look at it?
I couldn't read a single thing on it.
Got
and also they tell you like not to look at a screen, just basically to
Are you still nervous at this point? Like, I
no,
hope that went well.
I wasn't, yeah, I was more uncomfortable. I was like, all right, I want this to be over. This is like, now I have to like just shut my eyes for the entire night, then I have to go to sleep and I'm gonna wake up and hopefully feel better.
What was home like when you got home?
When I got home, I could see a little bit. I could see enough when I got home that I downloaded the TuneIn app and put the Cavs game on.
So you were listening to a radio.
So I listened to the whole entire Cap game lying on the couch with my eyes shut. And then Jill made dinner.
Have you ever listened to a basketball game on the radio?
No, but I love it.
Oh, that's interesting.
By the end, I could really see it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. So who needs LASIK? You just need a really good radio play-by-play commentator.
That's true. If they could describe the street signs as I drive home.
Were you nervous awesome. Were you constantly checking to see if your eyes were better? And you're like, it's okay, it's fine, it's not yet.
I was more nervous about I just wanted to rest them even more than they said I should.
Right.
I think they said after a few hours I can
use your eyes.
Yeah. But I straight up basically kept them shut all the way up until bedtime, and then I just went to sleep. Because I was like...
Were you nervous to sleep? Were you like, this is great, 8 hours of shut eye?
I was nervous to sleep because I didn't want to rub my eyes or move the mask. I just kept on imagining rolling over and putting my arm on the mask and having it dig into my cornea.
Oh my God.
Ripping the flap off. So I slept like a dead person, just... back up or on my back, eyes straight up. I put my sleeping mask over my night goggles.
Yeah, you one false move and just slides it open like a sheet coming off a bed.
Yeah, and I pretty much slept through the night.
Woke up. Is there a nervous moment when you're waking up? You're like, I'm going to open my eyes for the first time.
Yeah, when I did that, I was like, everything is a little blurry. My eyes are really sensitive, and I was like, well, that's every morning.
Yeah,
and then I brushed my teeth and I went out into my living room. And from my living room, I can see a house that's way up on a hill.
Yeah.
And it was just ultra clear.
Whoa. So and that's the moment.
I was like, I felt like a goddamn superhero. and then I was walking around. I was like, I wouldn't be able to read the title of that book usually. So there's a lot of guessing, wait, did my eyes used to be
right
a little bit how better is this?
That's right.
And then when I went to work, I was like, I walked and I took the train and I was just looking at street signs, looking at shop signs, testing my eyes, and it is crazy.
So that's a full success.
Oh yeah, I can see so much further than before. And there's still a little sensitivity about light. My eyes are getting a little tired. But in terms of what I can see, oh yeah, I can drive.
You're gonna drive,
and I can see, just so fucking clearly.
You probably don't have to use the drops.
Yeah, I mean, what do I need the steroid drops for? I'm the man.
Oh yeah, one of your flaps is kind of dangling.
Really?
Yeah. Here, let me just massage it shut.
Ouch! Oh, you yanked it. You yanked it like a Band-Aid. Fuck. That was my flap, man.
I thought it was top down, not bottom up. I am so sorry. I wonder if that happens. What would happen if the flap came off?
Yeah, I don't know. It takes, I think they said 10 days before the flap is
fully.
You're not supposed to take a shower in the first 24 hours. You're not supposed to rub your eyes really hard for a straight up month.
A month? Oh, because then it could just.
Yeah, you don't want to disrupt the flap.
Wow, it's like a scar that's healing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So I'm trying to. Take real nice care of the flap. Real good care of the flap.
For now, you recommend it.
Yes. I think definitely for people like me who's I just couldn't get used to wearing my glasses and I was living my life with everything blurry. I think that it's different if you're good wearing your glasses.
Yeah.
Then
it would be a whole rebrand for me. I'd be a different human if I could just see without glasses. But yeah. I'm kind of curious. Maybe that's the next step. Whereas before you got LASIK, I would say I was 0% into it. Now I'm 5% curious.
You can go and get a free consultation and see if you're a good candidate.
No, this is fine. I'm probably a great candidate.
Do it. I mean,
I could do it and then just still wear glasses. That's the weird thing.
Yeah. And then if you ever, when you wake up, you would just have good vision. Or if your glasses were dirty, you could take them off and you'd be able to see.
Yeah, but I don't want to be that guy that's do you need glasses? I'm actually, I don't. I just wear them anyway.
I think that you're 35 now. You're confident enough that if anybody made fun of you, you'd be like, I spent my whole life wearing my glasses. I like them.
Skinned.
I like the way I look.
I wore glasses for real for 25 years, so don't give me that bullshit.
I suffered, and now they're trendy. And I can see, but I'm gonna be trendy. It's like wearing a watch or something.
Yeah, Yeah, I would rather get LASIK than wear a watch. I don't know. Try to convince me, people. Tweet at me.
I think you should, because it's just so nice.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm definitely a little bit curious. All right, let's talk about our live shows and then get the hell out of here. That took up the entire fucking second half. I hope you're happy.
That counts as my unsolicited advice.
That's right.
If you're thinking about it, get LASIK.
LASIK. All right, so we're going to Amsterdam on June 4th, London on June 6th. That show sold out. And then Dublin on June 10th. Come check us out. Jake will have perfect vision.
So I would love to see you there.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you take any selfies during the LASIK?
No, I took one afterwards, the one I sent you.
Oh, good man.
Yeah.
Do you know what your vision is now at this point?
Yes. I got an eye test.
Yeah.
My vision is 2015. That's better than 2020.
But it's 2018 now.
I'm better than perfect. Just like 2015 was a better than perfect year. Remember 2015?
Oh, that was
where
the
we thought Trump
year.
Was just like a silly little thing that wouldn't happen.
You think Trump has contacts in? Because he's never wearing glasses.
Hmm.
Did he get LASIK?
Let's say he didn't.
And he's just down to be a blurry guy.
I think his vision's blurry, and I think that's good for
the world. Never see Trump in reading glasses. You never see him like take reading glasses out of his joke. Like coat pocket.
He doesn't read,
put it
right?
on and read like a menu.
Yeah, he probably stands close enough to the TV that he can just see without like
that's
it being
good.
Blurry.
Or like he shouts at the drive-through menu, so like he sort of already knows what he wants.
Oh yeah, he's got the McDonald's menu like memorized.
Quarter pounder, medium fries,
and three of them.
Now please. That is what he does when he goes to the drive-thru. You know he's going to the drive-thru.
Of course.
We'll answer some more questions next week, I promise. Closing theme song is by Travis.
Wait, Travis Scott?
No, I don't think so.
I was going to say, because that'd be insane.
It's a fun rock and roll riff.
Awesome.
So enjoy it, and we'll see you guys next week. Fun special guest, already recorded. Get pumped. Get very pumped. Bye. Looking back at me, I see that I never really
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Laitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.